Good morning. I know in your bulletin it says Roger Hayes is speaking today. So if you want to get up and leave because it's me, I won't feel bad. Nathan, you got to stay. But anyway, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. What a great day it is. It's our one day as fathers to do whatever the heck we want to do. Is that correct, dads? Yeah, I'm sure. Sure that'll happen. But what a blessing it is to be a father. And I was thinking about, you know, it is a privilege because we have been given the opportunity by our Heavenly Father to help another person to grow in their faith of God, to grow up and hopefully learn some manners, learn how to be polite, how to carry on a conversation, and just given the opportunity to help someone to become a good person. And one of the greatest gifts that a father can receive, and it doesn't just happen to be on Father's Day, is just to see some of those teachings come to life. And you see your kid holding open a door for someone, and you say, hey, you know, those manners are starting to come around. Or they're able to carry on conversations, or you have people coming up and saying, boy, your son or daughter is such a nice person. That's like one of the greatest gifts you can get as a father or as a mother. And just think about our Heavenly Father, how proud He must be when He sees us doing those things, when He sees us living out our faith and resisting temptation and making good choices and helping others to come to get to know Him. So, happy Father's Day, and hopefully you guys have a good one. Fatherhood is a commitment, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It is not necessarily being a fatherly commitment, but just commitment in general. But it's a commitment of your whole person to raising your son or daughter to be a better person, to be a good Christian. And it does take a lifelong commitment to do that. We're going to look at the word commitment, and for some people, it's a scary thing. You know, there are some people you hear many times in TV shows or wherever, I'm afraid of commitment. There's a lot of lines in TV shows and stuff about that. But for some people, commitment is not a difficult thing. Actually, for some things, being committed to it is not a hard thing. But for other things, commitment is scary. Easy commitments. Being a fan of a sports team is an easy commitment. You slap on a couple jerseys, you go out, you root for them, good or bad, you watch them. That's an easy commitment to be a sports fan. Really, it is. And, you know, sometimes even if your team is not a very good team, more people actually are, you know, you should take more pride in your team when they're bad because people actually respect that more. So, you know, you Cowboys and Eagles fans lately, you know what that means, right? All right. Belonging to a certain, like, group or society, like the Red Hat Society. Have you ever ran into a group of Red Hatters on vacation? They wear the red hats, they wear the purple outfits very proudly. And they love to get together on their bus trips and so forth and travel together. And that's a nice, easy commitment, to be part of a group that you share similar interests with. And hobbies. Hobbies are, you know, an easy commitment. Getting the best golf equipment. Getting the best stuff to put on your car to soup it up and so forth. So these are some easy commitments because we find joy in them. A little bit tougher commitments are some of the ones that we're tending to be scared of. I found this on the internet. Marriage rate is on the decline. Only 26% of millennials see themselves getting married as compared to 48% of baby boomers found them, you know, planned on getting married. Now, I actually see that a lot where I work. I work with a lot of people that are younger than me that are in this age group. There are a lot of single people, and you don't even hear about them being in like a committed relationship. So, you know, marriage rate is on the decline. Maybe people are just scared of that commitment, to give up their life and to have to share it with another person. Right now, satellite TV and cell phone providers, all their thing is no long-term contracts with us. You know, you go by the month or you go by whatever. No long-term deals. You don't have to have that commitment. Why is it difficult to commit? Definitely, it involves your time. A lot of people are saying, look, I only got one shot at this life. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, takes effort. Committing to certain things you do lose some of your freedom when you do commit to certain things. And definitely the last thing, people don't want their lifestyle to change. They're very comfortable with how they live, and if they know that they commit, maybe especially to a marriage, that's going to change their lifestyle. If they commit to having kids, that definitely changes your lifestyle. So a lot of people are scared of commitment because they like the life that they lead and they don't want it to change. What we're going to talk about is committing to God. And we're going to look at three parts. What does it mean? Why can it be difficult? And what is in it for us? So those three areas we're going to look at as far as committing to God. First part is, what does it mean? First thing, we have to obviously believe in God, and we have to trust in God's will. Can you think about Abraham? He was very old when he had a son. He didn't think he'd ever have any kids, but he was very old when he had a son, and he trusted in God's will that at this old age he could still raise a son. In fact, he even trusted about 16 years after having the son, God said, go sacrifice him to me. And Abraham was going to do it because he trusted in God's will. Noah, one of the best stories in the whole Bible to me about doing God's will. What, 100 years to build an ark? He was very, very old when he started this. The earth was full of evil people except for eight. I think there was eight people that were saved, maybe something like that. Can you imagine the ridicule that he experienced for, 100 years of building this ark from the evil people that surrounded him? And he still did it. Moses, we talked about this in we saw a video about this in Sunday school, leading the Israelites. Moses was not too pleased when God asked him to lead the Israelites. He wasn't very confident in himself. I believe he had like a speech impediment, or he felt, you know, like he couldn't speak very eloquently. But he trusted in God's will, and he went nose to nose with the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at that time. And he got the Israelites, through God's guidance, out of the oppression of Egypt. And David, you know, David, when he defeated Goliath, he talked a good game that day. If you remember, he was very confident. You think, I'm going out there with, three stones, maybe five stones that he picked up out of the river, and a slingshot against a guy in all armor. But he went out there, and he did God's will. Second thing it means is leaving your old ways. Peter and James, they left their fishing business and their families, and they said, okay, we're not going to fish anymore. We're going to go follow this guy we know for 5 minutes. You all right with that, hun? Okay, might not have that much money coming in, but you cool with that? We're going to go do that. But what a great journey that leap of faith took them on. They had a front row seat to all those miracles, all the teachings of Jesus. And then you had Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus must have been ripping a lot of people off. He was a tax collector, and he knew he was ripping people off. And he said, look, after he met Jesus, I'll pay you back four times as much if I ripped you off. He knew he did, or else he wouldn't have said anything. But so hopefully he changed his ways also and started being a non-cheating tax collector, we'll say. Have you ever heard, this is like a new phrase, have you ever heard we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting? Have you heard that phrase out there now? come to Jesus meet. It sounds nice, like you're going to, but I think it really means that you're going to go up to someone and you're going to tell them, boy, you are doing this wrong and you got to straighten yourself out. Well, the first real big come to Jesus meeting was definitely Paul's change of heart when Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and this is out of Acts 9. This is Paul, fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Definitely a come to meet Jesus meeting right there. He met Jesus on that road to Damascus. And Jesus was telling him, you're doing wrong. Paul thought he was doing everything right. He was being a good Jew. He was taking care of those people that were in that new way, that new religion. He was taking care of them. He thought he was doing all right. Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, why are you persecuting me? If you remember the story, Paul then goes blind and he's led to this house and God talks to his servant Ananias and says, you got to go visit Paul. And Paul's like, and Ananias is like, isn't he the one killing everybody? And God says, trust me, just go visit him. I expect great things out of this guy. And this is what happened. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and if you continue the story, and went on to become one of the greatest leaders of the early Christian movement. So that was definitely a change of lifestyle for Paul. And a couple other things that it means. Giving God your all. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Don't look back on what you're giving up. When we become Christians, we shouldn't be looking back saying, man, I used to do that. We can't look at it like that because that's going to weaken our commitment to God. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And probably one of the most difficult things, setting a good example no matter what the situation. In the same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So what does it mean? Giving God your all. Change of lifestyle, change of attitude. Trusting in God. Setting that good example and never looking back. That's what our commitment to God means. Why can it be difficult to commit to God? All of us have some level of commitment or else we wouldn't be here. But sometimes our commitment level is really strong and sometimes life gets to us and it becomes a little less strong. And there's a lot of things that go on. First thing is we must be willing to give more than we think. Have you ever turned something into your boss or turned something into a teacher and you were very proud of your work? And you thought, man, I did my best on this work. And you were proud of it as you turned it in. And your boss or your teacher comes back and says, you know what, this was all right, but you could have done more. Have you ever had that experience? Sort of deflates you. You thought you were turning in an A-plus work, your best. And your boss comes back and says, you could have done more. In his meeting with this rich young man, Jesus does that to this rich young man. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, and you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. That young man thought he was turning in an A-plus life, keeping those commandments. He thought he was going to go up and Jesus was going to pat him on the back and say, you don't need to do anything else. But Jesus knew there was one thing holding him back from perfection, and that's his possession. And Jesus said, you got to give those away and give to the poor. I wonder if we went up to Jesus and said, how am I doing as a Christian? I wonder what our report card would be off of him. Hopefully it would be good. But I wonder what that one thing or two things or three things or in my case 100 things I would need to do to gain perfection, what Jesus would tell me. Why can it be difficult to commit to God? God's expectations go against human nature. Love your neighbor. Do you see how they keep their yard, God? Do I really have to love them? They play music till 1 o'clock at night. Do I really have to love my neighbor? Yeah, you do. You've heard it that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So I got to love everyone, even the people that do wrong to me. Yes, you do. As much as it goes against eye for an eye and everything else, God's expectations aren't human expectations. How about the last one? If this is not the greatest, I should say the greatest, the most popular pastime of human beings is to judge and condemn other people. Would you agree with that? People love to judge and condemn others. I think that's because it makes us feel better, because we know that we're not perfect. But if we can bring someone down, it puffs us up somehow. But I think Jesus is reminding us that, you know what? It's not fun on the other side of that judge, being judged and being condemned. It might be fun to do it, but when you're getting it done to you, that's not fun. And he's telling us, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Why can it be difficult? You must be willing to face ridicule and rejection. Right now in America, it is very difficult to be a Christian. Being a Christian right now, you are labeled, or we are labeled, as hypocrites. We are labeled as judgmental. We are labeled as condemners. I had this girl in school. We said, I want you to write, I am, but I am not. And this girl wrote, I am a Christian, but I am not judgmental. And I thought that was very fitting, that that's how people unfortunately see Christians right now. And a lot of times we have brought that on ourselves by some of our actions. And we've made it tough on ourselves. We've done actions that make it easy to label us. But Jesus knew that this stuff was going to happen. He knew that this was going to happen at the beginning of Christianity and throughout the whole history of Christianity. And he wants us to take heart. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus knew that this was going to happen. It happened to him. And he wants us to take heart. And when we're being ridiculed or when we're being rejected for our faith, God is blessing us. And finally, why can it be difficult? We must be willing to keep Jesus' commands. If you love me, keep my commands. In other words, if you love me, keep all of my commands. It's not just the ones that come easy. It's not just the ones you agree with. We are to keep all of his commands. And our last section is, why is it, what is in it for me? And I think this is one thing that we as Christians don't focus enough on. There is great reward in being a Christian. There is great reward. First thing, peace in your heart. I have told you these things so you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Do we let that peace actually come into our hearts at any point in our lives? Jesus is saying, I overcame everything for you. Let me help you. Let me give you that peace. Rest from burdens. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Any of you have burdens out there? Jesus is willing to take those off your shoulders and help you through those times. Freedom from worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? This past week, my family and I, we were down in Jamaica. We were down in Jamaica from Sunday to Thursday, or Friday, Sunday to Friday. If you've ever been to like an island country in the Caribbean, those people down there have nothing at all. They have very few possessions at all. But you would never know it by the Jamaicans' attitudes. They are a very happy people, and they have nothing. But they kept saying over and over to us, no worries, no worries, no worries. And these are people that, you know, you go by their homes and they have nothing. But they don't have the worries. They have somehow found inner peace by the simple life that they lead. And it's amazing to me that they can be so happy and they don't have anything. Maybe there's a lesson in it for all of us there. So what is in it for me? Peace in your heart, rest from burdens, freedom from worry, and the ultimate, what is in it for me? Heaven. Can you imagine eternity free from burdens, free from troubles, free from pain, an eternity with our Heavenly Father. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. That's our ultimate prize for being committed to our Heavenly Father. Wrapping up, commitment to God, definitely tough to do because we will face challenges. God expects us to go against the norms of society. And it can require us to have a great lifestyle or a change of lifestyle. We have to keep in mind the reward is great. We can enjoy peace in our hearts and eternal life in heaven. And that is why we're here, to get that peace in our hearts and eternal life in heaven. Hopefully our commitment to God will strengthen throughout our days. Hopefully we will look back and we can say to ourselves, our commitment is worth it. I can get peace in my heart through these tough times. I know God will help me with my burdens. And I know someday I will be with my Savior in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your commitment to us. You love us so much and you're committed to us so much and wanting us to be with you forever that you gave us your Son, that through Jesus' teachings we would come to know you, and through his death and resurrection we could come and join you in heaven. And we pray, Lord, that our commitment to you may be strong. We pray that others may come to know you and know what it means to be a Christian through our commitment. And when our commitment is weak, Lord, please help us to turn to you for the strength we need and the peace in our hearts to strengthen our commitment back up and become the people we need, you need us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, the church offers an invitation. If anyone here would like to start their commitment to God and be baptized and join the family of God, the waters are ready to go in the back. If you have something on your heart that you'd like the church to pray for, you can come forward at this time as we sing.